Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures signal the equity sell-offs not over yet.
President Trump ramps up his attack on the Fed.
European banks report earnings. We are live in London with results.
And a highly anticipated report from Tesla has some predicting a profit.
Saudi Prince Salman will give a speech for the first time since the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Plus, President Trump and Vladimir Putin plan to meet next month. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Red Sox beat the Dodgers in Game 1 of the World Series. The Rangers with a home win over Florida.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit uscfinvestments.com. That's uscfinvestments.com.
Well, it's shaping up to be another volatile session with U.S. futures falling and the VIX trading above 20. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 18 points this morning. Dow futures down 147. NASDAQ futures down 61. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%, and the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 are both up 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.4%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 3.13%. Yield on the 2-year 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $66.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $3.40 to $12.33.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.16. The yen, 112.62. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin with today's trading in Asia, where it was indeed another volatile session dominated by moves in Chinese markets. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 closed only marginally higher after earlier rallying on optimism of more state-based stimulus and liquidity. That optimism had fueled a rally in other markets and saw commodity currencies like the Aussie gain while the yen fell, but it ran out of steam in late trade. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index tipped back into negative territory in the afternoon session. Japan's Nikkei index was boosted by that weaker yen, finishing higher in Tokyo by 0.4%, but tech stocks fell after bellwether Texas Instruments reported third-quarter revenue that missed estimates. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe are mixed this morning with bank earnings in focus. Barclays reported results that topped estimates with a strong performance from its investment bank. Bloomberg's Danny Berger has details from London.
Barclays trading has really shored up some confidence. Equities trading revenue surging 35%, beating estimates. Securities unit, the division at the center of the CEO's growth plan, also outperforming. And investment bank spending has continued as well, which for other banks has been a weak spot.
Shares of Barclays are currently up about 0.5%.
And shares of Deutsche Bank, meanwhile, are down about 4% after results that fell short of estimates. Joining us live from London with details, Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The German lender reporting its lowest third quarter revenue since 2010. It now predicts a slight decline for the full year after earlier guiding for a flat result. While cost reductions should help the bank post its first annual profit in 4 years, CEO Christian Sewing said the focus now has to be on growing the top line without compromising controls. But for investors who have been through the bank's previous turnaround plans, it's a familiar pattern. Former CEO John Cryan had vowed to restore controlled growth last year after raising fresh funding, but he failed to deliver. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. The krona is weaker after Sweden's central bank left its key interest rate unchanged. Here with more is Bloomberg rate strategist Richard Jones.
The Riksbank didn't change their guidance. They've kept it open to December or February. I think there were some in the market thinking that perhaps the Riksbank would actually now lean more towards a December rate hike rather than February. And so as a result, the krona is giving back some of its early gains.
And as we said, the krona is weaker. It is down about 0.4% now. It's at 9.0605.
Here in the U.S., Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell is once again drawing criticism from President Trump. Bloomberg's John Tucker's here live with the details. Presidential pressure back on for the Fed, John?
Yeah, Nathan, the president tells the Wall Street Journal in an interview he maybe regrets appointing Jerome Powell to the post of Fed chair. Mr. Trump says Powell almost looks like he's happy raising interest rates. The president did sidestep a question on what circumstances would lead him to remove Powell, saying, "I don't know." That contrasts with his response to a similar question on October 11th when he answered, "I'm not going to fire him." This all comes on the heels of Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic advocating for more policy tightening. The Dallas Fed Chief Robert Kaplan was a bit more dovish, but agrees there should be another rate hike in December. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, Karen.
All right, John, thank you. At 2 p.m. Wall Street time, we get another assessment of the U.S. economy from the Fed, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
The Beige Book survey will help set the agenda for the Fed's November policy meeting. Economists will be looking for the impact of White House trade policy on the U.S. economy like this. In late September, Ford Motor Company CEO Jim Hackett reported that metal tariffs took $1 billion in profits and warned of more pain. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. Wall Street awaits third quarter results from Tesla after the company pushed up its earnings report from next week to today. Shares surged 13% yesterday amid speculation CEO Elon Musk is in a hurry to share good news. Also, as Andrew Left of Citron Research said, he's no longer shorting Tesla.
I think being short going into this quarter, knowing that he just made earnings a week earlier, right on top of Ford's earnings, and knowing that the company's finally hitting stride with production of the Model 3, and I see the short interest, I'm like, oh no, that's just wrong.
And some traders and analysts are even predicting a profit for Tesla. The company reports results after the close of U.S. trading.
Semiconductor stocks are coming under pressure after disappointing earnings from Texas Instruments, the company which has the largest number of customers and the broadest product range in the chip industry, warns that demand is slowing across many markets. Shares of Texas Instruments are down 6% in early trading.
Shares of ST Microelectronics are down about 9%. The company, whose customers include Apple, is forecasting no boost to profitability in the fourth quarter. So far this month, the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index is down about 10%, on pace for its biggest monthly decline since 2012. Straight ahead, latest world and national headlines. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Saudi Crown Prince Salman is scheduled to make his first international speech since the killing of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. He will address the Future Investment Initiative Summit in Riyadh. Meanwhile, President Trump described Khashoggi's killing as a bad job. The president, speaking to reporters last evening, says that Saudi Arabia's crown prince told him that the lower-level operatives are solely responsible for the killing of the Washington Post contributor.
The execution was no good, and the cover-up, if you want to call it that, was certainly no good.
The U.S. is revoking the visas of some Saudi individuals suspected of being involved in Khashoggi's killing. President Trump has ratcheted up his verbal attacks on a migrant caravan moving through Mexico and towards the U.S. border. The president and his administration have been saying there are Middle Easterners mixed in with the caravan of mostly Central Americans. When asked if by Middle Eastern he meant terrorist, Trump said that he has good information that there could be terrorists in the caravan. From a security standpoint, Secretary of State Pompeo says there is no proper accounting of who these individuals are, posing an unacceptable security risk to the U.S.
Where 1 million people per year are granted permanent legal status here in the United States. Over 33 million people total are currently here who have immigrated to this country legally.
White House and Kremlin officials say President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin plan to meet on the sidelines of a World War I commemoration in Paris November 11th. Bloomberg's Ilya Hipov has more from Moscow.
U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton had a 90-minute meeting with Russian leader in Moscow on Tuesday, concluding 2 days of lengthy talks with his aides. The meeting in Paris will be the first such encounter between the two presidents since July, when they met in Helsinki. The new agreement to meet couldn't mask continuing tensions between the former Cold War hosts. U.S. plans to withdraw from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, citing Russian violations of the agreement. In Moscow, Ilya Arkhipov, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Willa is now a tropical storm. It came ashore on Mexico's west coast as a hurricane last night. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, most figured the World Series opener in Boston would be a pitcher's duel, but neither Chris Sale or Clayton Kershaw had his best stuff. Both were gone before getting an out in the fifth inning. The Red Sox had taken the lead in the first with a pair of runs off Kershaw. Twice the Dodgers tied the game. Twice the Sox went back ahead 3-2, then 5-3, and game one was put out of reach with Boston up 5-4. Two on, two out, seventh inning.
Check of the runners, the 1-0. Nooney swings it, drives one to left, high and deep by the wall. Gone! Three-run pitch homer, Eduardo Nunez. Can you believe it? And the Red Sox lead it 8-4.
That was the final. Red Sox radio had it. Andrew Benintendi with four hits. J.D. Martinez had two run scoring hits. Game two tonight at Fenway. At the Garden, Rangers' first win of the season where they didn't need overtime. 5-2 over Florida. They're now 3-5-1 overall. The new Rangers coach is David Quinn.
I mean, it's nice to score, you know. It's nice to win a game that, you know, you're not on the edge of your seat. Not that we weren't at 4-2, but, you know, it's just, you know, it's nice to overcome a bad first period. You know, quite frankly, we haven't had many bad nights. And when you think about our season so far, and we were kind of to just talk about that, I mean, you know, we lose to Edmonton 2-1, we play pretty well. We beat Colorado, we tie Washington, and, you know, the other night we played pretty well against Calgary.
Two goals last night for both Matt Zuccarello and Mika Zibanejad. Has the house cleaning begun for the 1-6 Giants just back home from the loss in Atlanta? The Giants traded starting cornerback Eli Apple to New Orleans for 4th and 7th round draft picks. Apple, a couple years ago, was the Giants' first round draft pick. The Jets, with multiple injured wide receivers, they've signed Rishard Matthews, previously with Tennessee. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks very much. Maybe seeing signs the U.S.-China trade dispute is taking its toll, particularly on an American icon, baseball caps. Prices on those could rise 25% in January. According to the American Headwear Alliance, the vast majority of caps sold in the U.S. are imported from overseas. Of those, 89% came from China last year. Pointing to a lower open on Wall Street this morning, S&P futures down 17 points or 0.6%. Dow futures down 0.5%, 137 points. NASDAQ futures down 56, a drop of 0.8%. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg. Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETF. So why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Market volatility continues this morning, with U.S. stock futures sliding before a raft of earnings from industrial and tech bellwethers. Asian markets registered mild losses as the yen weakened and Chinese shares inched higher. The U.S. has identified at least some of Jamal Khashoggi's killers. That's according to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who says the U.S. is revoking or blocking visas for 21 suspects and considering sanctions. Meanwhile, President Trump is stuck between two key allies, Saudi Arabia and Turkey. He must decide which story to endorse and says he's passing responsibility to Congress. And shares of Deutsche Bank are slumping after the German lender posted its lowest third quarter revenue since 2010. Fixed income and equities trading income dropped 15%, while full year revenue will take a bigger hit than previously expected. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures are down 18 points this morning. Dow futures down 148. NASDAQ futures down 60. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 3.13%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. And NYMEX crude oil, little change at $66.41 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $3 to $12.3380 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Donald Trump has threatened to declare a national emergency or rescind aid from the countries whose people are traveling north in the migrant caravan, but his administration hasn't settled on a plan should they arrive. Top administration officials and close Trump advisors are still evaluating the options in closed-door meetings that have gotten increasingly heated in the past week. The winning numbers were drawn last night for the record $1.6 billion Mega Millions lottery jackpot, and it's reported that at least one winning ticket was sold in South Carolina. In the World Series, the Red Sox took Game 1 against the Dodgers 8-4. They'll play again tonight in Boston. In the NHL, the Rangers won along with the Bruins. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. There is a bright spot in a dark corner of the European market this morning, Barclays. And then, of course, there's Deutsche Bank. Bloomberg's Danny Berger is in London watching the bank results this morning for us. Danny, let's start with the good news. Thank goodness for trading and Barclays.
That's right. I mean, and it really is quite the contrast from the other earnings we've seen. And so the big news here is that we are seeing FICC revenue even outshining its American peers at Barclays, rising almost 10%. Like you said, trading doing well, equities, derivatives, equity financing, really bright spots. And shareholders seem to like this because it also sort of boosts the case of the CEO to fend off activist shareholders because he really is delivering on some of this promise, it seems, to grow the trading business.
Does this shut the activist investors up for now?
For now, it seems that way. And of course, this is the activist investor, Edward Bramson. And so one thing that Stalley, the CEO, has been pushing for is his investment banking. He's a big believer in spending there after spending 30 years, rather, at J.P. Morgan, and has essentially staked his reputation on boosting returns in the division. Revenue had looked weak, and that sort of gave the activist investor, Bramson, a way in. This does, however, seem to sort of boost his stance against Bramson.
Okay, that was the good. Now the ugly. Deutsche Bank, the third quarter revenue, the lowest since 2010, and now predicting a slight decline for the full year. One of the things that stood out for me was earlier was under €9 a share, and that says to me right away that they're close to or might be close to a tipping point for this stock. Your thoughts?
That's right. I mean, we've really seen shares decline for Deutsche Bank significantly this year. I mean, it is now trading at its lowest price since 92 when the company went public. But at the same time, the CEO really faces a difficult question of how to boost revenue because the bank has undergone this process of slashing costs, cutting jobs, and yet that still hasn't been enough to boost revenue to the point where shareholders want to see it go. So questions remain where Deutsche Bank goes from here.
Yeah, that's always a double-edged sword when you talk about cost-cutting because you can achieve your targets, but you're cutting into bone, or at least the case here it seems to be.
And that's certainly right. And when we've seen especially results, here, stark contrast with Barclays, you need to sort of step it up and report stronger trading results to keep up with your peers. So just cost cutting clearly can't be enough if in turn equities trading can't do well. And in fact, it declined about 15% from a year earlier for Deutsche Bank.
All right. What do the experts say about the possibility of somebody taking over Deutsche Bank?
Well, certainly this doesn't help. The Deutsche Bank has seen itself in what some have called sort of a vicious circle of declining revenue. And it's organization, advisory business is not doing much better. So I think the question here is whether the bank can sort of regain momentum, whether or not it can. I think that's the future of Deutsche Bank hanging in the balance there.
Okay. What's been the overall picture for European banks so far?
Right. Well, we have a very interesting contrast to U.S. banks, where we still have tax cuts helping to boost a lot of the lenders. Now in Europe, we might not have that as much, especially for the less international banks. And then also in the background, you have these issues of are the banks exposed to Italy? That certainly is troubling for more of the local banks.
Okay. So
a lot of cross currents for European banks.
Danny, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Bloomberg's Danny Berger in London watching the European bank results for us this morning. And shares of Deutsche Bank right now, 9.04 euros. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
And a reminder, the latest edition of Bloomberg Businessweek is on newsstands now. It's the future of retail issue with the cover story on Amazon's quest to win India. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Your business.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock futures point to a sixth day of losses. A turnaround in China's markets helped keep the MSCI Asia Pacific Index from slipping into a bear market. European averages mostly higher.
Earnings are in focus around the globe. Shares of Deutsche Bank are down 3%. Revenue is falling as the bank restructures.
Barclays shares are up nearly 3%. Equity trading revenue surged 35%.
Shares of Volkswagen are down 0.5% after warning that trade tensions are dragging down its business in China.
Here in the U.S., Wall Street awaits results from Tesla. The stock surged 13% yesterday after the company pushed up its earnings report from next week to today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
The electric car maker's third quarter earnings will reflect an auto operation that is much larger than it was in the prior third quarter. Deliveries and production will likely be up 200% year over year. And Bloomberg Intelligence says this means logistics will be added to the list of things such as pricing and margin challenges that investors are concerned about with all automakers. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Shares of Texas Instruments are down 6%. The chipmaker forecasts fourth quarter revenue that missed analyst estimates. We also get earnings from Microsoft, Boeing, Visa, and AT&T today.
President Trump is once again heaping criticism on the chairman of the Fed. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John?
Nathan, Mr. Trump tells the Wall Street Journal that Fed Chair Jay Powell almost looked like he happy at raising interest rates and that it's too early to tell, but maybe he regrets appointing him. The president sidestepped a question on what circumstances would lead him to remove Powell, saying, "I don't know." John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And Nathan, the VIX.
Yes, we've got to go to the volatility index report because it is 6:32 on Wall Street. The VIX did rise above 20 yesterday to close at 20.71. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 21.64. That is this morning's volatility report. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We are getting a lot of earnings this morning. We just heard from Northrop Grumman. It reported a third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Futures are lower. S&P futures are down about 18 points. Dow futures down 150. NASDAQ futures down 61. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 3.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 9 cents to $66.33 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3.20 to $12.33.60 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks very much. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Withum, Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. Central American migrants are continuing their trek to the U.S. Thousands rested at a makeshift encampment in a rain-soaked square in a southern Mexican town. Meanwhile, from a security standpoint, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says there is no proper accounting of who these individuals are, posing an unacceptable security risk to the United States.
I've spoken twice in the last 2 days to my counterpart, Foreign Secretary Vidigoray. We trust that Mexico's leaders know what the best steps are to resolve this situation, and we urge timely action on their part.
President Trump doubled down on using the word nationalist to describe himself. The president, speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, says it's because he loves our country.
I am very proud of our country. We cannot continue to allow what's happened to our country to continue to happen. We can't let it happen. So I'm proud. I'm proud of our country. And I am a nationalist. It's a word that hasn't been used too much. Some people use it, but I'm very proud. I think it should be brought back.
The president called himself a nationalist during a rally earlier this week in Houston, Texas. President Trump says he will be briefed today by U.S. officials looking into the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi by Saudi Arabian agents. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest.
The days of gathering evidence and cautious deliberation are all but over. The president plans an afternoon meeting at the White House with officials involved in the inquiry, and he made their mission clear as he spoke to reporters in the Oval Office.
There has to be some kind of retribution. There has to be.
After what he labeled one of the worst cover-ups in the history of cover-ups, Trump indicated he's inclined to defer to Capitol Hill on the ultimate course of action, specifically the future of arms sales to the kingdom.
Here, I'm going to leave it up very much to Congress. Congress has some very strong ideas, both ways.
He said he's heard from some lawmakers who want arms sales to continue, but signaled an open mind on the issue. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Parts of the southern U.S. will feel the effects of what was Hurricane Willa. It hit Mexico's west coast as a Category 3 hurricane, now a tropical storm. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, a year ago, Red Sox hired Alex Cora without any previous managerial experience. In his first season, he has pushed all the right buttons. In the World Series opener, Cora started lefty hitting Rafael Devers at third base against the lefty Clayton Kershaw. But in the seventh inning, when the Dodgers brought in another southpaw, Alex Wood, to face Devers with a 2-on-2 out, Boston clinging to a 5-4 lead. Cora inserted Eduardo Nunez as the pinch hitter, and Nunez golfed a line drive 3-run homer just over the Green Monster, rewarding Cora.
We talk about it today. You know, when he came in, probably he was a little bit disappointed that he didn't start, because he's been started against every lefty. But we felt that Rafi was going to hang in there with Kershaw, and having him on the bench, it was going to pay off. You know, you got to keep a righty. You know, Pierce is playing. Ian was playing. So keeping him in the dugout, you know, and out of the lineup was going to probably give us a chance to win the game. And it worked out.
Three-run shot put the Sox ahead 8-4. That was the final. Chris Sale went the first four innings, and then came six Boston relievers. Another postseason start for Clayton Kershaw, where he was not at his best in four innings, charged with five runs on seven hits and three walks. Game two, Red Sox and Dodgers tonight at Fenway. At the Garden, Rangers gave up an early goal, dominated from there, beat Florida 5-2. Two goals for both Matt Zuccarello and Mika Zibanejad. The Giants drafted cornerback Eli Apple the first round in 2016. He got benched last year. His teammate Landon Collins called him a cancer. Apple was playing better this year, but the Giants just traded him to New Orleans for fourth and seventh round draft picks. Coach Pat Shurmur, team 1-6, said no plans to play anyone a quarterback other than Eli Manning. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The European Commission has rejected Italy's budget for flouting Europe's fiscal rules and has given Rome 3 weeks to try again. The move is risky because it sets up a political confrontation that could end badly. But the rules are there for a reason, and if the system is to work, Italy can't be allowed to opt out. The Italian government unveiled plans earlier this month to lift its budget deficit to 2.4% of GDP. Granted, Italy's economy is growing only sluggishly, but its planned budget overshoot is unprecedented, and its public debt, at more than 130% of GDP, is enormous. Italy appears not to care. But the euro area has a strong collective interest in each member's willingness to maintain fiscal discipline. If the eurozone is to succeed, fiscal cooperation can't be seen as optional. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 now on Wall Street, and AT&T is among 37 companies in the S&P 500 that report earnings today. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the telecommunications and entertainment giant reporting adjusted earnings per share of 94 cents on revenue of $45.65 billion. AT&T closed the Time Warner deal in the second quarter, making the third quarter the first full quarter of integrated results and suggesting it's too early to get a read on AT&T's plans for the newly owned content. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
If you bought an ink cartridge from HP during the past year, chances are its plastic came from bottles collected on the streets and beaches of Haiti, which more than likely would have just been carried by wind or rain or simply dumped into the Caribbean. Since March of last year, the printer maker has purchased the equivalent of 12 million plastic bottles, joining a growing list of companies, including furniture retailer IKEA, creating supply chains sourced from so-called ocean plastic. HP's Sustainable Impact Program figures there's roughly one bottle's worth of recycled plastic in each printer cartridge. IKEA recently announced a plan to phase out all single-use plastics from its stores and restaurants by 2020 and aims to have a product prototype using reclaimed ocean plastic by the end of 2019. Some environmental groups aren't sold on the idea. One Greenpeace activist says it makes for good public relations without companies doing the hard work of reducing the amount of plastic packaging they use. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Taking a forward look at the markets this morning, looks like another day of losses ahead of the open. S&P futures down 17 points. That's a drop of 0.6%. Dow futures 0.5% lower, or 135 points. NASDAQ futures down 57 points. That is a drop of 0.8%. Treasury prices moving higher. The price on the 10-year up 0.7. The yield now at 3.14%. Two-year Treasury yield is at 2.87%. NYMEX crude trading at $66.38 a barrel. That's little change. COMEX gold down 0.3%, or $3.70, $12.33.10 per ounce. This is Daybreak. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
The only problem... Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 130 points, S&P's dropped 17, and NASDAQ futures declined by 57. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.14%, oil trading little changed, and Asia markets were mixed overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly higher right now, led by gains in France and the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing and services PMIs. At 10 o'clock, new home sales, and at 2 o'clock, the Fed releases its beige book. After the bell last night, Texas Instruments, with a disappointing forecast, shares it down 6.5% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Ingersoll Rand, Northrop Grumman, and Hilton all beat. Look for AT&T and UPS to report around 7 o'clock. Boeing around 7:30. In other news, Deutsche Bank said that the bank stocks are oversold and favors Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. And wrapping things up, Lockheed Martin upgraded to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Avery Dennison upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan. Etsy upgraded to equalweight at Morgan Stanley. And among the banks, Fifth Third upgraded to neutral over at Nomura Instinet. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump said he is passing responsibility to Congress for responding to the killing of Jamal Khashoggi at a Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Trump criticized the conflicting accounts from Saudi Arabia afterward as one of the worst cover-ups in history. The U.S. is revoking or blocking visas for 21 suspects in the incident. Russian President Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump will meet on the sidelines of a World War I commemoration in Paris next month. White House National Security Advisor John Bolton in Moscow says the meeting will take place on November 11th. In the World Series, the Red Sox took Game 1 against the Dodgers, 8-4. They'll play again tonight in Boston. In the NHL, the Rangers won along with the Bruins. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, someone has a brand new life thanks to 6 ping pong balls. At least one lucky soul in South Carolina reportedly won the $1.6 billion-dollar Mega Millions jackpot. Mm-hmm. The winning numbers, I can tell it wasn't you, were 5, 28, 62, yeah. 65, and 70. The Mega Ball was 5. And, hey, we got a second chance. The Lotto fever is not over yet. Nathan, tonight's Powerball jackpot is up to $620 million.
Wow. Remember when 620 sounded like a lot? I mean, when you're talking about $1.6 billion, when you put a B in the jackpot, it makes nine figures seem,
You know what? You know? If someone said I won $2 million, watch me do a mic drop, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump making comments this afternoon about how his administration's tackled the opioid crisis over the last year. Later on this evening, the president heads to Wisconsin to rally for Republican Senate candidate Leah Vukmir. And a planned closed-door meeting on Capitol Hill with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has now been postponed. The chairman of the committees that were going to lead that hearing say they don't have enough time for all the questions they want to ask. Also making news this morning, President Trump says he will hold a meeting today with people who have been to the Middle East to investigate the death of columnist Jamal Khashoggi. For more on this, we are joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Now, Kate, of course, we know Secretary of State Pompeo and CIA Director Gina Haspel have been to the region. What, if anything, are we expecting to come out of this meeting at the White House today?
Well, it sounds like they could come back with some additional information for the president. The president at least has indicated that he's waiting to kind of hear from them when they return. And so it sounds like potentially Trump could come out and say something more definitive than what he said so far. He's been sending a lot of mixed messages when it comes to his response and, you know, the level of blame and the level of rhetoric he's willing to sort of direct at Saudi Arabia. So I think it'll be interesting to see once he gets some more information what he's willing to say.
Yeah, it has been interesting to see the mixed messages coming from the president when we got a pretty definitive message yesterday from Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. It almost seems as though he's trying to lead the global response to Saudi Arabia here.
Yeah, that's what struck me as well, is it's almost like the U.S. is a bit absent on the global response to this, when you would think traditionally that the U.S. would be sort of leading, both because of the role the U.S. has traditionally taken in terms of trying to be a leader on, you know, human rights issues, that sort of thing. And also because, frankly, the journalist, you know, who was killed was a Washington Post employee and was residing in the U.S. at the time of his death. And so it's a bit odd that Erdogan, who, you know, himself really has, to put it mildly, a less than stellar record on human rights issues, is the one sort of leading the response on this rather than the U.S.
Yeah. And as we heard Michael mention, the president has basically said that he's going to defer to Congress when it comes to the U.S. response to this. And that's something that we haven't quite seen before. Usually we do see presidents in the forefront here.
Absolutely. It's a bit unusual for sure. And I think it's particularly striking given that this president is someone who likes to portray himself as a strong leader, not necessarily a passive leader. So this doesn't really mesh with that. It's also worth noting that the response from Congress from the get-go has been very strong to call for sanctions and to call for, you know, in some cases, an end to the arms deals with Saudi Arabia that the U.S. has. And the president, while he said he'll defer to Congress, has not said that he would necessarily support those things. In fact, he said again yesterday that he wants to continue arms sales to Saudi Arabia, and he thinks it would be a mistake to cut those off. So he's kind of saying one thing in terms of passing the buck to Congress, but not really necessarily following through in terms of what that would mean.
All right, let's move on to midterm politics. We are now less than 2 weeks away from November 6th, and President Trump has accused China in the past of trying to interfere with the election. Now Facebook and Twitter have apparently put that claim to the test.
Yeah, and they haven't found any evidence, they've said, of Chinese attempts to meddle in the upcoming midterms. It was notable at the time, I think, that both, you know, the president and Vice President Mike Pence came out and gave a big the president has talked about China, and Mike Pence came out and gave a big speech, basically outlining the threat that the administration perceives from China. And it was worth noting at the time and again now that the rhetoric the administration has lodged towards China in terms of election meddling has been much stronger than what they've said about Russia, when all evidence indicates that Russia actually is very actively trying to meddle in U.S. elections and did, in fact, meddle in the 2016 elections. And, you know, the White House, at least, has been pretty silent on that.
And in terms of the type of interference that the administration has talked about, though, have they really been mentioning social media manipulation as opposed to things like running ads that look like newspaper stories in papers that are being targeted by tariffs?
Well, that's one of the things. China ran an ad in the Des Moines Register a couple weeks ago, basically complaining about the Trump's trade war with China. And so, you know, the president, obviously that seemed to, rile the president up a bit and sort of launch this sort of counter initiative about China and talking about election meddling. And so I think that you're right in making that distinction. However, that's something China has been, by all accounts, doing for quite a while. And I don't think there's as much of a sense that in the intelligence community that that's as much of a threat necessarily as what we've seen Russia do when it comes to social media manipulation.
All right. Less than 2 weeks to go now. A lot to talk about. Thanks so much, as always, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And you can read more about all this and more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can always follow the very latest on what's coming out of Washington on Bloomberg Radio. Just tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in the nation's capital. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Watching AT&T earnings crossing the Bloomberg. More details in a moment. First, 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. American Express and Amazon.com have unveiled a new co-branded card for small businesses. Among the more attractive features, cardholders with an Amazon Prime membership will be able to choose between an interest-free loan for 90 days or a savings boost from rewards. Cardholders will receive 5% back on purchases made at Amazon.com, Amazon Business, Amazon Web Services, and Whole Foods. The no-fee metal card will also offer 2% back on purchases at U.S. restaurants and gas stations and on mobile phone services. Amazon's been rolling out more products for small businesses in the hopes of providing them from everything from office supplies to factory parts. Well, last year, it started a Prime membership program offering fast, free delivery for companies. Amex, meanwhile, has been experimenting with allowing cardholders to pay off or finance individual purchases in a new feature called Pay It Planet. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And again, watching shares of AT&T this morning down about 0.33% in early trading. It just reported a third quarter adjusted profit that missed analyst estimates. We're also hearing Burger King's discounts aren't paying off for Restaurant Brands International. The burger chain reporting comparable sales that trailed analyst estimates last quarter, rising 1%. Futures this morning, they're lower, down 15 points. Dow futures down 110. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany's up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 3.14%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. And NYMEX crude oil, it's up about 0.1% or 5 cents at $66.47 a barrel. Straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.